online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, a decision on whether construction can reopen for home building won't be made until next week. The planned easing of some restrictions next month has been put in fresh doubt as COVID case numbers rise. We'll hear from the head of the HSC. We'll also hear from a local GP in Donegal who says the current outbreak in the county seems to stem from some form of interaction a week ago. Also in this bulletin, it's emerged that Sinn Féin's finances are being examined by the Ethics Regulator. It's been revealed the long-awaited stroke unit at Letterkenny University Hospital has officially reopened, and the Deputy First Minister in Stormont says the North is running a risk of becoming collateral damage. All those stories to follow, plus we will have the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin this afternoon with confirmation of an investigation into the cause of a fire at an abandoned house in Letterkenny this afternoon. Gardaí and emergency services attended the scene of the blaze at an abandoned house in the Ardglass area at 2 o'clock. The fire was extinguished by local fire services. Gardaí say an examination of the premises will be carried out. No injuries were reported and inquiries are ongoing. A decision on whether construction can reopen for home building won't be made until next week. The planned easing of some restrictions in April has been put in fresh doubt after case numbers began to stagnate and, in some cases, rise. With more, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
This is the week that NPHET will examine all the available data to decide whether some restrictions can be eased in April, and it's off to a worrying start with 769 new cases of COVID confirmed yesterday, the highest since the end of February. We won't know for a few more days whether that was a blip or a more sustained trend, as unease with the current restrictions is rising. NPHET meets on Thursday ahead of a Cabinet subcommittee next Monday before the full Cabinet will make the call on Tuesday. Up for discussion is the reopening of house and apartment construction, easing the 5 kilometre rule and some kind of outdoor gatherings being permitted. But today, ministers are more pessimistic about what they might be able to do if the numbers continue to rise again. There will be a big push from Housing Minister Dara O'Brien to get construction open, with 700 or 800 home completions a week being missed while the lockdown continues. It will be a balancing act for ministers. NPHET will push back on reopening if the cases are going up, but there's a political acceptance that many people have been pushed to the limit by level 5 and will need some relief, even if it is very slight.
Well, the head of the HSE says an increase in mixing and mobility has led to a rise in COVID cases. 769 new cases confirmed nationally last night. That's the highest number since the end of February. Health officials say while it's frustrating and disappointing, the vaccine offers hope in fighting the virus. But Paul Reid is warning the new variant remains very transmissible.
Within a household, we're seeing about 30% transmission last week. So we know and we can see increasing mixing, increasing mobility. I think we can all see it and understand it, you know. But the fact is, this virus is still highly transmissible in the community at the moment.
Well, that concern about transmissibility and the potential rise in numbers also reflected by Lifford GP Dr. Paul Armstrong, who's also the clinical lead of the COVID Hub Centre in Letterkenny. He says the current increase in the county's numbers appears to stem from some form of interaction about a week ago. Yesterday, the COVID-19 test centre in Letterkenny was described as stretched. Once again this morning, there were queues outside the centre as people saw tests. 67 new cases were announced in the county yesterday. The figures for today will be announced shortly. Well, Dr. Paul Armstrong says the situation in the county as it stands now represents something of a setback.
We were doing quite well there. We really were heading in the right direction. And I know we've spoken a few times over the past year, and I've despaired at times because of the way the figures were going, but they were definitely heading in the right direction. We were all looking forward to opening up in some capacity, matching the north over the next few weeks. But this is definitely a setback, and people do need to redouble their efforts, and efforts need to be made to find out why this has occurred and where it's occurred. We know this passes on very easily. People, often in very innocent or innocuous situations, just literally in the same room with people who are positive, can get it. So we just need to be really careful and redouble all our efforts, no matter how hard it is.
Well, it's too early to say, really, Greg, and I don't want to speculate. Obviously, the schools did reopen. We know that the kids are relatively safe from COVID. What can happen, though, is they can pass it on. So that's a possible link. There are also a lot of people who claim the COVID thing is a complete hoax, and vaccine deniers and COVID deniers, and they, you see people out, you see people without masks, these people are taking no precautions while the rest of us are doing the very best that we can in terms of personal precautions and limiting our movements and where we go and who we're with. So where it actually started from this time, we don't know. All we can do is redouble our efforts to try and get it back under control again.
Well, that was Dr. Paul Armstrong speaking to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show. Well, last week, concern was expressed by both a local GP and a Garda inspector at what appeared to be a COVID surge in South Inishowen. Local electoral figures released later last week confirmed a spike in cases in the area. Local councillor Nicholas Crossland says there are fears that potential breaches over St. Patrick's Day and the days that followed haven't yet been reflected in the data.
There's a possibility that we could have a slight spike, certainly in here, and then the whole of Ireland probably, because of St. Patrick's Day. Less than a week passed now, that I would be worried for the next week that our figures may rise again. I know that the Gardaí continue to find people for gatherings and groups at house parties and social gatherings. And unless we stop having contact with other people, or certainly in larger groups, we're certainly not going to get out of this here.
Well, north of the border, 87 new cases of COVID-19 were confirmed today. That's the lowest number of new cases so far this year, with one additional COVID-related death reported. Other news this evening, it's emerged that Sinn Féin's finances are being examined by the country's ethics regulator. The Irish Independent reported at the weekend that the party's alleged use of funds raised abroad is key to the probe. The purchase of cash in Sinn Féin's letter of The purpose in cash of Sinn Féin's Letterkenny office for a six-figure sum is said to be a primary concern. The Ireland editor of the Irish Independent, Fionn Sheehan, has been outlining the potential concerns.
The issue there would be, did it come from Ireland, Irish people? Because you're only allowed to use funds that come from Irish people. And what were the sums involved? And were they in excess of any donations limits and so on? So it's really just a kind of a transparency issue in that regard. So I mean Sinn Féin's point is quite clear in this. They're saying the fundraising did not include direct donations from anyone either here or abroad, and they're basically saying that the money came from a series of church gate collections, raffles, draws, a lottery, the functions that were held over the course of 10 years, and built up this pot of money. That there were also people who bought tickets for a draw, but that the immigrants who were sold these tickets were people who had returned home for visits. So they're saying they're fully in compliance with the ethics legislation, and that it's not the case that money was fundraised abroad, and therefore that the references to people who were in Australia and America, they're saying, is that people who came home were then asked to purchase tickets. So that's what the complaint.
Right. So.
And that was Fionn Sheehan there of the Irish Independent, Ireland editor with that paper, speaking to Greg Hughes earlier today. The Deputy First Minister at Stormont says Northern Ireland is running the risk of sustaining collateral damage as a result of ongoing bad faith on the part of the British government in its dealings with the European Union. Michelle O'Neill told the Assembly this afternoon that the British authorities have promised one thing and delivered another. And in the face of criticism from unionist MLAs, she said those who supported Brexit must take ownership of the consequences.
I attended a meeting of the Joint Committee on the 24th of February with Michael Gove and Maura Sefcovic, where both reaffirmed their support for the protocol and the need to work together to deal with the issues that have arisen. Yet despite these commitments, and less than a week later, obviously the British government went on to do the solo run and took unilateral action that has totally undermined the work of the Joint Committee and does risk that collision course with the European Union, where we again become the collateral damage. And certainly in my own personal opinion, not the TEO opinion, but that was a calculated act of political bad faith. But I don't think it'll come as any surprise to the member that the current instability and uncertainty is a direct consequence of Brexit, a Brexit that was rejected by a majority across our community and rejected by a majority across this House. For those who champion Brexit, they need to own the economic consequences and the uncertainty that has flowed from it. And any threats to the implementation of the protocol, which is our protection against the worst excesses of a hard Brexit, clearly risks future stability, growth and prosperity. So I think it's still a time for clarity, for stability. It's still a time for certainty, and it's still a time to find solutions to the issues as and when they may arise.
And that was Deputy First Minister Michelle O'Neill speaking in the Assembly earlier today. It's been confirmed the long-awaited acute stroke unit at Letterkenny University Hospital has officially opened. It opened last week following a number of delays as a result of COVID-19. 7 stroke patients are currently receiving treatment at the new facility. The unit is the result of a major local campaign by hospital consultant Professor Ken Mulpeter. Dr. Mulpeter hopes there won't be any further delays, with plans to expand the unit in the future.
We have started last week and we're open for business. And so my colleague, Dr. Miranda, is leading out on it at the moment. So I'm pleased to say that we have 7 patients in a ward at the moment with stroke. So we're very happy with that. And we hope to expand the unit. And it's only running up the last week. And we were delayed, obviously, with the COVID, but hopefully we won't get any further waves and we'll keep going.
Investigations are continuing into the discovery of a major tyre dump near Barnesmore Gap. The dump consists of a large number of used car and lorry tyres dotted across the scenic area. It's estimated one pile alone contains around 1,000 tyres. Donegal County Council is investigating and asking anyone with information to come forward. Local councillor Martin Harley says the council has undertaken a lot of effort in terms of fighting illegal dumping like this, and he believes using barcodes may be one way of combating illegal dumping.
Something that we talked about in the council over a number of years is that we have a barcode on everything now. To me, this should be used more for dumping and for waste. So, in fairness, we have a great team within the council now, and there's been extra resources put into that over the last number of years to try and discourage this.
€500,000 has been confirmed for the enhancement of the Muckish Railway Walk. The funding has been sanctioned under Measure 3 of the Outdoor Recreation Infrastructure Scheme. It's another phase of the Letterkenny to Burton Port Greenway project. It's been described as a significant development of a popular outdoor amenity in Donegal. The project is being part funded by Foyle Ireland. An increase in public spending in Ireland in the first 3 quarters of last year was the second largest in the euro area. The Central Bank Notes Budget 2021 contained an increase of €5.4 billion in Exchequer spending. In its economic letter, COVID-19 and public finances, the ECB is warning long-lasting spending increases funded by debt could limit the scope to respond to future crises. The Central Bank also suggests permanent increases in spending could only be sustained by offsetting revenue-raising measures. Police in Strabane and St Mills have had a busy few days dealing with a large number of crimes in the area. A number of house searches have resulted in arrests for drug offences, while police have also confirmed there's ongoing cross-border investigations in relation to last week's drugs haul in Milford. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
On the drugs front, police have carried out 4 house searches, which all had a positive result, with 2 males arrested for possession of Class B and C with intent to supply, and a number of other people reported to the Public Prosecution Service for various drug offences. Police have also been assisting Gardaí in Donegal in the recovery of a large amount of Class A drugs. On the traffic front, police recovered 1 stolen vehicle, seized 1 vehicle for no insurance, and 2 arrests were made for driving with excess alcohol and drug driving. Antisocial behaviour patrols were carried out in Sion Mills and the Ballycommon area throughout the week, and a large quantity of alcohol was seized, while a number of youth were brought home to their parents, and follow-ups will be carried out by the Youth Diversion Officer.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.
It's 5:15 and we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donald. We're going to start with rugby, and Ellis Genge has avoided a sighting for an incident with Ireland captain Jonathan Sexton. The England prop appeared to press his elbow into the face of Sexton during England's game at the Aviva. However, no action will be taken against Genge. Meanwhile, Bundy Aki will face a disciplinary panel tomorrow after he was red carded in the 32-18 win for a high tackle. Elsewhere on the rugby front, Leinster have confirmed that James Ryan, Gary Ringrose and Will Connors will all miss Saturday's Pro 14 final with Munster. The trio were absent from Ireland's win over England with respective head, ankle and knee injuries. Connacht are aiming to finish their Pro 14 campaign tonight on a high. Andy Friend's side are taking on the Clonefley Scarlets, and that one gets underway at 8 o'clock. Rugby clubs in Donegal can now apply for a £1,000 bursary as Sonae, electricity system operator for Northern Ireland, and Ulster Rugby are rewarding rugby clubs who kept the community involved in the sport despite the global pandemic. The fund will reward the efforts of clubs and volunteers throughout the province who have embodied the spirit of community rugby by keeping their players and the community engaged throughout the pandemic, from champion health and well-being to keeping kids and families connected to the game off the pitch. This year, County Donegal clubs will be encouraged to apply for the bursary at ulsterrugby.com/realrugbyheroes. Applications will open for a 4-week period, closing at 5 p.m. on the 14th of April. To international soccer, former Irish boss Brian Kerr has concerns over the Republic of Ireland's goalkeeping situation heading into the World Cup qualifiers. West Ham's Darren Randolph and Liverpool netminder Kevin Kelleher are out injured for Wednesday's clash with Serbia and the visit of Luxembourg. It leaves manager Stephen Kenning with Mark Travers, Gavin Bazuna and Kieran O'Hara. Kerr feels the lack of experience or game time in the squad in all positions is a worry.
Bazuna is getting, you know, he's playing at Rochester, but at the bottom of the league, conceding an awful lot of goals. And the other two are not playing. That's Kieran O'Hara, not in the starting team at Borton, and Travers, not in the starting team at Bournemouth. So that's concerning. Centre half position is concerning. You know, who's going to play up front? James Collins got a goal when he got on the sub yesterday. He's not playing regular at Luton. Shane Long not playing regular. Conley, we're not quite sure where he is at the moment.
The Republic squad have all tested negative for COVID-19 ahead of that qualifier on Wednesday with Serbia. Results on the pitch may not be going the way of Stephen Kenny thus far, but striker Callum Robinson can feel the tide is about to turn.
I don't think there should be any pressure at all. Should just go out there and play. And as I said before the Slovakia game in one of these, I was confident and I thought we'd done really well that night and lucky to lose on penalties, but we created chances, done really well, broke Slovakia down through the thirds. I don't think many supporters have seen football like that from us in a long time. So there's small steps, but as you said, the main thing is the result at the top, and that needs to change and goals need to come. So it's understandable why people can be annoyed, but I think we're going in the right direction.
Former Irish goalkeeper David Ford has joined Stephen Kenny's backroom team. Ford, who is the current head of psychology at Crystal Palace, will offer mental advice to the players. The Galway native, of course, played under Stephen Kenny during his time at Derry City. Linfield striker Shane Lavery has replaced the injured Connor Washington in Northern Ireland's squad for the start of the qualifiers. Washington picked up an injury while playing for Charlton Athletic on Saturday. Lavery, who has 5 Northern Ireland caps, is the Irish Premiership's top scorer this season with 19 goals for the Blues. Northern Ireland boss Ian Barraclough has also added uncapped goalkeeper Liam Hughes to his squad. It is a first senior call-up for 19-year-old Hughes, who joined Liverpool from Celtic in January. Northern Ireland, of course, start their campaign against Italy and Parma on Thursday. The League of Ireland now turns its attention to the second series of games in the Premier Division this coming weekend. At the top of the table, Finn Harps, Longford Town and Drogheda United all tied after opening day wins. Those three teams, of course, were tipped at the start of the season to be fighting at the bottom of the table. Next up for the Harps is an away trip to Dundalk this coming Friday. Here's former Harps captain Declan Boyle.
Dundalk, they were played Sligo Rovers last night, and that was a 1-1 game. So yeah, I mean, I think it was a big decision up there where Sligo scored and there was an offside given, and there was an offside by the images that I've seen. So I mean, Sligo could have won that game. You just don't know what you're going to get with Dundalk, you know. But I mean, obviously they're home, they're a top team. It's going to take a big performance. We probably haven't won up and done Oriel Park against Dundalk in a long time, so it's going to take a big performance, obviously. But you know, we're defensively very good, we're strong physically, and we can probably withstand it. You know, it's probably important, like game last night, that you might get an opportunity to score early and you know, obviously takes a wee bit of breathing space, but it will be a big performance. I think it's up and out of that. You would gladly take a draw now against Dundalk, you know, now. But yeah, listen, you never know. I mean, the team's good enough, there's good enough players, excellent players there, and you just never know in the day. But you know, a home advantage seems to, as you mentioned earlier, I mean, both Longford and drawn and Harps all won, you know, so nobody fancied that. And, you know, home advantage in the Premier League, it makes all the difference.
And there's more from Declan Boyle available in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com in the recap of the opening games in the top flight. On the golf front, Brooks Koepka is a major doubt for the Masters next month. The four-time major winner has had surgery on his knee and hasn't played since he finished in a share of second place at the WGC Championship last month. And in rowing, Paul O'Donovan is set to be partnered by Fintan McCarthy in the lightweight doubles at this summer's Olympics. It means Paul's brother and 2016 Olympic silver medalist Gary is without a boat for the Tokyo Games. And that's it from the Highland Sports Desk for today. Jeremy's back tomorrow morning with our next bulletin.
Thank you, Washing. The emergency services have been praised for their swift response and participation in a major search off Buncrana last evening. The incident's been described as a well-intentioned false alarm. Two Oranelagh lifeboats, the Rescue 118 helicopter and local Gardaí were tasked to the scene. After a couple of hours, the search was stood down when it was determined there was no further cause for concern. It's believed a member of the public thought a group of kayakers were in difficulty. It later emerged they had made it safely to shore. Local councillor Jack Murray says all those involved are to be praised.
Thankfully it transpired that it was a false alarm, and we're very, very more delighted that was the case. But I think it's very reassuring that emergency services responded so quickly, albeit to a false alarm, because it shows just the professionalism and dedication of the members of those emergency services, that they leave no stone unturned. If it is the case that they get up and they look for whoever it is that may need to be found. So.
And that was Councillor Jack Murray there. Well, the forecast, it will be generally cloudy this evening and tonight, with patches of mist and drizzle developing in some places. Lowest overnight temperatures, 6 to 8 degrees Celsius in moderate to fresh southerly winds. Tomorrow Tuesday will start mostly cloudy with just the odd bright spell. Some outbreaks of drizzle along northern and western coasts through the morning. The cloud will thicken in the early afternoon as a spell of rain pushes in from the Atlantic. That rain quickly will clear eastward, followed by some good bright spells. Highest temperatures tomorrow 11 to 13 degrees Celsius in moderate to fresh and at times gusty south to southwest winds. And looking at the main stories this evening, an investigation is underway into the cause of a fire at an abandoned house in the Ardlass area of Letterkenny at around 2 o'clock this afternoon. No injuries reported. The fire was put out by the local fire service. Gardaí say the premises will be examined and inquiries are ongoing. A decision on whether construction can reopen for home building won't be made until next week. The planned easing of some restrictions in April has been put in fresh doubt amid stagnating and, in some cases, rising COVID numbers. The head of the HSE says an increase in mixing and mobility has led to concern over the recent rise in cases. That's echoed by Lifford GP Dr. Paul Armstrong, who also heads the COVID Hub Centre in Letterkenny. Well, we're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday, the 22nd of March. The death has occurred of Colm Moyne, Drumhaggart, Muff. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning in St Patrick's Church, Ishkeheen at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and Requiem Mass are strictly for family only, please, with a limit of 10 people permitted. Colm's Requiem Mass can be viewed on MCN Media, Ishkeheen. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Society of St Vincent de Paul, Muff Branch, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Joe Phillips, 189 Lisnara Road, Dunamana. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Joe's Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the St Patrick's Church Killena Dunamana Facebook page on Wednesday morning at 11. The death has occurred of Rita Markey, née Moss, late of Black Rock Drive, Ballybuffet. Requiem Mass will be celebrated in the Church of Mary Immaculate's Turn Order on Wednesday morning at 11, with interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the Turn Order Parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Turn Order. Due to HSE and government restrictions, the house mass and interment are private to family only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Palliative Care Ward, Oma Hospital and Primary Care Complex, care of Charles Lynch, Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Dennis Meehan, Muckross, Kilcar. Removal from his home on Wednesday at 11:30 for funeral mass in St. Carthas Church, Kilcar, at 12 noon, with interment afterwards in Kilcar Cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of Andrew Foster, Andy Stewart of the Glen, Garvery, Burnfoot, County Donegal. Due to HSC and government restrictions, the house is private, please, with the funeral restricted to family only. The death has taken place of Kathleen Keeney, née Given, Legendara Lifford, and formerly of Convoy. Funeral from her home on Wednesday morning at 11:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Friends of Lifford Hospital, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with HSC and government restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed on clonleyparish.com/webcam. The death has taken place of Dickie Gallagher, 84, Laurel Drive, Strabane, formerly of the Glebe Sion Mills. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. Dickie's Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam on Friday at 12 noon, melmontparish.com/webtv.html. The death has taken place of Dr. Edward Mackay, Heatherfield, Woodlands, Letterkenny, formerly of Falkirk, Scotland and Kilmacrenan. His remains will arrive at St. Columba's Church, Kilmacrenan, this evening at 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Due to government and HSC guidelines, the funeral and burial are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The funeral mass can be viewed live on the Kilmacrenan Parish Facebook page. The death has taken place of Gerard McGrinder, 36, Knockaniller Road, Lake Fordrum, Strabane. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Gerard's funeral mass can be viewed live via youtube.com/dergmedia tomorrow at 11 o'clock. And the death has taken place of Dominic Kelly, the New Cottages, Doohery. Removal from Midlin's funeral home this evening to St. Connell's Church, Doohery, arriving at 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 with interment afterwards in Fintown Cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted.